As we have the feeding scheme, they can come to us and ask for food. It doesn't mean that to come to Alexander Gospel Choir and Development Project and say, look guys, can I have mealie meal? I don't have mealie meal, fish oil, soup, whatever food. We can give you because I know, and you'll be asking the right project because I am HIV positive. I'm not going to wondering that why are you asking for mealie meal. I know that you are supposed to eat as a human being. You are just supposed to eat.
Sub-Saharan Africa is home to 70% of the world's people living with HIV. In almost every country, the rate of HIV is higher in urban areas than rural areas. Despite the large numbers of urban people struggling with both poverty and HIV, very little is understood about the link between HIV and food security in cities. This episode of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa speaks on food security, looks at the interconnection between HIV and AIDS and urban food security.
The problems are different. Some of them, the parents are ill. Some of our children, their parents are ill. Parents are no longer working because of illness, no longer getting that money. Some of our children, it's lack of unemployment, you know. Their parents are not working, but they are trying their level best. And some of our children, their parents are ignorant parents. Parents who would stay playing, gambling, not cleaning the house, not cooking, not doing anything, drink. That's why the children, they don't have food. It differs. Some of them are people who really need help. Some of our parents are HIV positive.
Nombulelo Mnisi is an HIV activist and founder of Alexandra Gospel Choir in Johannesburg. Together with her daughter, Pilisiwe Tafeni, they operate a feeding scheme looking after orphans and vulnerable children. Using their own pots and pans, the two women offer meals for hungry children and even send small amounts of food home to parents to help ease pressures on household food stocks. Living with HIV herself, Nombulelo knows how important good nutrition is.
People who are living with HIV and AIDS, they need to eat. You know, they need power. They need amandla. You know, when you are HIV positive, as a human being, sometimes you could feel that if you are hungry, knowing that you are HIV positive, you ask yourself many questions that, now I'm HIV positive, I don't have food, why me? You know, you could ask those questions and you cannot find an answer. So as an HIV positive people, you need to eat, fill up your stomach and do exercise and be happy. You're not going to ask any question that why.
In Southern Africa, HIV has reached crisis proportions. In 2007, national prevalence exceeded 15% in 7 countries: Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, South Africa, Swaziland, Zambia and Zimbabwe. Over a quarter of urban dwellers living with HIV are in Botswana, Lesotho, South Africa and Zambia. Swaziland has the highest prevalence rate in urban centers at 40.3%. The country has responded with creative solutions, especially for children. Almost 70,000 children in the tiny country are left orphaned because of HIV.
There has been a limited in the past, maybe up to the 2002, focus has been on really food aid and assistance. But increasingly, the government has moved more into the area of addressing food security, particularly for children, because now, because of the HIV, we have a large proportion of children who are who call orphans and vulnerable overseas. So government is pushing a lot of its resources into schools to provide school feeding schemes for all children in primary schools, and most of the programs are now into the secondary schools.
Nomncebo Simelani is with the University of Swaziland and leads the work of the African Food Security Urban Network in that country. For her, Swaziland's community care points are an innovative innovative response to the impact HIV is having on their families and children. At the community care points, vulnerable children who are not attending school receive meals provided by the World Food Program and socialize with other children.
What we have seen is that because of the HIV pandemic, by the end of the 90s, there was a lot of children, because in Swaziland, education has been very, very high, especially in terms of literacy rates, but children have been dropping out of school because of parents dying and so on. But now with the school feeding program and the neighborhood care points, children are now going back to school because in the schools they are being fed. Even during school holidays, because of the neighborhood care points, they are able to access food even when they are out of school. The focus of food safety nets are more focused towards children, because for adults, unless they are in drought-prone areas and government is providing food assistance, that only happens. So in urban areas, we tend to find that this is largely the children who are benefiting from government support.
Perhaps one of the most well-known and compelling heroes in Africa's HIV and AIDS struggle was little Nkosi Johnson. When he died at the age of 12, Nkosi was the longest surviving child born with HIV. In his speech in 2001 at the International AIDS Conference in Durban, this brave young activist started his speech, "Hi, my name is Nkosi Johnson. I live in Melvin, Johannesburg, South Africa. I am 11 years old and I have full-blown AIDS. I was born HIV positive.
I feel normal. Can't even think about me, myself. Don't think I've got HIV. I feel like a normal boy. I actually feel this is my last chance to live. But actually, no, it's not. Yeah, this is my last day, last year."
After his death, Nkosi's adoptive mother, Gay Johnson, founded Nkosi's Heaven for orphans and vulnerable children. They have vegetable gardens and farming projects and even a bakery, but they still struggle to cope with the nutrition needs of growing numbers of children.
We survive on donations. At the moment, we're not getting any government funding for our orphans. Sometimes towards the end of the month, the kids are not getting the kind of meals I want them to, because we concentrate a lot on nutrition and it's fresh salads and things like that. So towards the end of some months, it's very, very stressful. We've got a farm down the road near Vereeniging, and we want to develop that further to really produce vegetables and chickens and things like that. But that needs money. Everything's based around money. We've got a garden, veggie garden at the bottom of the garden here, but the peacocks are eating the vegetables.
For Gail Johnson, the food gardens help supplement the children's meals, though they would like to do more commercial productions to help sustain their work. Perhaps just importantly, taking care of the gardens also helps children learn both life skills and skills that they can take with them into adulthood.
And if the farm is even 100% successful, it'll never generate enough income to keep both projects going, because this alone is about 6 million rand running costs. But we will be building the capacity of young people, as well as producing food for sale or for our own consumption and sharing our own consumption surplus if we've got it. So it's essential that we do something. At the moment, I'm concentrating on our residents, but I want to go commercial from a sale point of vegetable and chicken production so that we can sustain ourselves both nutritionally and financially.
Ramata Mosohai took time to speak with the children at the Haven about their life there.
What's your name?
Petros.
How's life here at Nkosi Haven?
Nice.
What do you do here?
Sometimes we have outing, like sometimes visitors come, like on Christmas, people come visit us and give us presents.
What kind of food do you eat here?
I think like supper, I think sometimes it's rice, sometimes it's pap. And for lunch, sometimes it's like bread and tea and cheese and bologna or fat cooks.
Do you like the food?
Yes, a lot.
For families living in poverty and often children, such assistance can be life-saving. They simply don't have enough food to eat already. Families with a person living with AIDS have one less income earner in the house. They also have higher medical costs, and that in turn can mean less to spend on food. Yet, the ability of people living with HIV to live positively and productively is also closely linked to their ability to access food. Without enough food, a person living with HIV struggles to stay healthy. Speaking to Ramata Mosohai, Joe Veray, a senior researcher at the University of the Witwatersrand, explains that for people living with HIV, it's not just about having enough to eat. age, but also the nutritional quality of the food being consumed.
How do we link food security and health, particularly around HIV?
I think what's really important to understand is that when we're thinking about food security, we need to think also about nutrition security. It's not about people simply having food to not feel hungry, but it's also about being able to access diverse food types. If somebody's living with HIV or TB, then their immune system is already compromised in some way. So it's important that they're able to access diverse and nutritious food to try and assist them in maintaining their health.
Are there any proposed solutions for security to people with HIV?
I think what's important when we're thinking about people living with HIV, there's two issues. One is that if you're currently on treatment, then you really need to have food with which to take your treatment. And if you're not currently yet on treatment, then good food and good nutrition will assist you in keeping your immunity. And I think what's really important is that we need to make sure that people living with HIV are able to access the support they need, and that would include access to, for example, grants, access to potentially food parcels.
Anna Matega joined the Treatment Action Campaign as a community mobilizer to help support people living with HIV like herself. These community care workers are a vital link in not only providing advice about treatment and medication, but also living positively, including proper nutrition.
We have to eat healthy. By healthy food, I'm talking about we have to have all the proteins that are needed in human's body. It doesn't mean that we have to stop eating meat or something like that, but at least add one veg in your meal, or in the morning when you take your cereal. After taking your cereal, you must get one fruit or two, and then not forgetting about drinking a lot of water. In our townships, we've got a lot of residents there who like eating this thing so-called gota. A gota doesn't have any nutrient in it because everything is deep fried.
For Anna, nutrition is often about making better choices.
We've got street vendors, they sell fresh veggies, fresh fruits, so we can buy there. It's not expensive because people just think that it's an expensive lifestyle. So nothing is expensive there. I think banana is 1 rand and an apple it's 1.50, which is 2.50, unlike taking money and go buy a cigarette.
Infection rates and mortality are considerably higher among poor, informal and migrant populations. Young urban women within cities are disproportionately affected by the disease. According to Stephen Ngobo, the provincial coordinator at the Treatment Action Campaign. The search for food itself can leave people vulnerable to HIV.
When a person, even within a family, there is no hope for food. There is no social grant that is seeming to come along. There's no hope for employment. No one is working in the family. Then one will look at what is practical for us. They'll be vulnerable to those with financial power to exploit them for the benefit sometimes of the whole family. A girl of 15, 16, 17, even 20-something years for that matter, will go out and say, I've tried everything and all. It seems there's no way out. Let me use what I've got. And that makes them vulnerable so much that even decision-making does not depend on them. It depends on the person who's got financial power.
In Tanzania, Associate Professor in Economic and Human Nutrition at the University of Agriculture, John Msuya, agrees that HIV and AIDS affects many able-bodied young people, adding up to the poverty, which is also the bottom line of food insecurity. HIV also affects the dynamic between urban and rural family ties. He says, contributing to the poverty and food insecurity of both.
Someone would be living in, you know, in urban areas, and the moment this person gets sick, you know, and cannot work, you know, would be transferred back to the rural area. So it's like adding more burden to the rural areas, you know. So with their poverty, then you add, you know, more poverty. So I think it's really something which is of great concern. And unfortunately, we don't have institutional support. I would say, you know, effective institutional support for that. So everything goes back to the household.
HIV, migration, as well as food insecurity are not completely separate factors. One ends up influencing the other, making them interrelated, says Sally Peberty of the Gauteng City Regional Observatory.
There is a relationship between HIV and migration, and one of the reasons why they say Southern Africa has a very high rate of HIV is because of the kind of migration patterns we have, which is circular migration, i.e. people move, having two homes, two places, not migrating with their husbands, not migrating with their wives, often not being able to. You know, if you're a domestic worker, your husband can't live with you. Not even your children can live with you. The other thing where there is a relationship between food insecurity and HIV is that if people are hungry, what will they do to get money? What kind of unsafe relationships will they enter into in order to get money? If I find a man, and maybe I've got children as well, and he's there but he won't use a condom, what calculations do I make in my head? And they can, you know, you can say, but you've got children, but my children need to eat.
Much of the health sector research on HIV and food security focuses somewhat narrowly on nutrition. But nutritional needs and dietary diversity are only one component of food security in the urban context. Another approach is needed, which encompasses all aspects of food security: availability, accessibility, appropriateness and reliability, as well as quality. With such a high number of people in the region living with HIV, the connections to food security is one that require urgent attention.
Moving our own, no change for taxi, no ticket.